perhaps he says it to you when you're just arriving at church. He'll say, Merry Christmas. And it doesn't matter if it's on or about the 25th of December, because we as a people, well, we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord all year long. And just because it happens to be Thanksgiving Sunday, we say Happy Thanksgiving. We are a people who get to be thankful all year long. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say that we're thankful for everything. There are lots of difficult things that we face. There are lots of struggles, lots of sorrows, lots of confusing times and moments, things that take place. But in the midst of the circumstances, right in the very midst of them, in everything, we're able to give thanks. I love the scripture that talks about that God is in the midst of her, talking about the city of God. God is in the midst of her. That God is a very present help in times of trouble. He doesn't abandon us. He sticks close. In everything, give thanks. You know, in the Old Testament, there were people whose job description it was to just give thanks. Bring the thankers in and let them start. Bring that group that's thankful. Their assignment was to come into the temple and let there be the giving of thanks. And this morning here in this building, in this place, I wonder if we could just simply assign some people today that everyone here in this room would be able to accept the assignment to be thankful today, because we've got so much to be thankful for. Maybe you're here and you're struggling. Think, Barry, you say we've got so much to be thankful for. It's a stretch for anything to come to mind right now. My hope and prayer would be that as you're here in this place, the Lord would just simply reveal to you some things that you can be grateful for without pressure, without you ought to be thankful, but just to touch our eyes and for us to be able to see something that maybe we haven't seen before. Oh, I can be thankful for this today. I can be thankful. It doesn't have to be a huge long list. It might be something very temporary, or it might be something very eternal that we're thankful for. It might be something very practical and physical. It might be something very, very spiritual. But there are things that we as the thankers this morning can be thankful for. So can I invite you in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. People, sometimes we wonder about what's God's will for my life and trying to discover his plan and his path. It's real clear in Scripture. In this one, you want to know what God's will is for you? This morning, this moment, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus, for all the things that concern, that affect us. And then in a moment, Chris Scollard, he's going to come and lead us in a focused prayer where we can all just agree and say amen to. But can we just transform this atmosphere to a place of thankfulness? And if you're here and you just need to sit, that it's just really struggle, may you be able to hear with your ears other people being thankful. And may you be captivated by a spirit of thankfulness that rises up in people today. Can I invite you just to begin to just, don't just think it, but begin to say it and begin to speak. Just tell the Lord how grateful you are. Just begin to tell him. It may be one thing, it may be 30 things. It's just you begin to speak, God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. Just begin to list things before him. And with a sincere heart, just, God, I'm thankful for this. You might in this transparent moment need to say, Lord, I'm struggling with being thankful. Would you help me be thankful? Show me even now what I can be thankful for. But just take a few moments and just begin to pray. And receive the assignment and respond to the assignment this morning that we would be a people who are thankful. Just begin to praise and thank the Lord. God, you're so good. You can thank him for who he is. You can thank him for what he's done. Thank him for the blessings on your life. You can thank him for the things that you've been spared from. You can thank him that things could be worse, and they're not. Lord, we thank you.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing a way from sin and temptation, a way out. We thank you that you have given us life instead of death, that your love is so great that you do not want anyone to be lost, that you have called us into a personal relationship with you. We thank you that we can experience your presence, your great love that you give us so generously and freely. We thank you God, for your word, so that we can be taught and trained. We thank you for your word, that your word gives us life, and for the opportunity to share your word with others. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, our helper and comforter. You are so generous with your gifts to us. We thank you for the gift of family. We thank you for our cornerstone family, our church family. We recognize that you have not left us to live life on our own, but you have surrounded us with those who support and encourage us. We give you thanks for the food on our tables, a peaceful and a free country to live in, the beauty of creation. We give you thanks for each breath that we take. We thank you for those and pray for those that are in authority. We thank you for our pastors and the gifts that they are to us. Our Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning and that your faithfulness to us is very great. Thank you that you invite us to call you our Father. And you are the source of all our blessings, and we thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Psalm 100 says this. It's entitled A Song of Praise for the Lord's Faithfulness to His People, a Psalm of Thanksgiving. It says this: Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. I remember teaching a Bible study to a seniors group in Airdrie, and I was asking them, what are some of the important things, lessons that you could give to me? That, you know, as much as I say I was teaching the Bible study, I was learning life lessons from these dear people. And I just always remember what one of the ladies said. She said to me, it doesn't just say serve the Lord. It says serve the Lord with gladness. Don't just serve the Lord. It's about your attitude. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Well, this morning is Thanksgiving Sunday. I'm going to spend some time talking about Thanksgiving with you. Thanksgiving really is a memory of the heart. It's a gratitude that takes place in our hearts. And the big idea I'd like to share with you, two things really. One is, it's a choice to be thankful, that we would make the choice to be thankful. And then secondly, out of that choice, we would also choose to give thanks. And there's a difference between being thankful and giving thanks. Giving thanks isn't just being thankful, and until you say it, you haven't given it, you've kept it. You can be about thanksgiving, that we remember Ebenezer Scrooge or Bob Cratchit talking about, I'll keep Christmas in my own way, you keep it in yours, that keeping, this is how I keep the traditions. Well, we can keep Thanksgiving, but that's not what it's about. It's actually about giving of thanks. There's a marked difference in between being thankful and giving thanks. Jesus will tell the story. Pardon me. Luke will tell the story. It'll unfold about Jesus, how he heals 10 lepers, and they all walk away, but only one returns. And it says, when this one returns, when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. It wasn't just that he was thankful, but his actions and his words, they did something. It had to do with, it had to do with the action. This is what he did because he was thankful. Being thankful is more than just being polite. Our daycare, the daycare that we hosted here for just over a year, a little while ago, they moved out. A couple weeks ago, they left. But there's a little boy named Muhammad, who would come to the daycare. Cute little fella. And he had a fixation with the fireplace in my office. So my door would be open, and he would see, I've just got a little fireplace on the wall. It does throw heat, but you can set it so it doesn't. It's just this fireplace that has lights on it, whatever. He was just fascinated with it. And he came into my office every day that he was here. It didn't matter if I was on the phone. Didn't matter who I was meeting with. Didn't do anything. All that mattered is the fireplace was there. And he would get to it. And then he wanted to touch it. And so we moved to looking, to touching the fireplace. And then somehow, I think it was maybe Eve, and she listens to these to put them online. So hello, Eve. I think it was Eve that might have shown him the buttons on it. So we moved from looking to touching to pressing all the buttons and changing every setting on it. And his mom and dad were always horrified that he would barge in and come to the fireplace. And I would tell them every time, it's no problem. And I would try to engage him. He was just so fixated on the fireplace. And his mom and dad would always say thank you, say thank you. And he would say, fire, fire. And they, you know, they're on a mission to make him say thank you. And so, thank you, and off he goes, and then he's good. Till tomorrow. And it was polite that he said thank you. And maybe he was thankful. But it really, there was a politeness that they were after, not a heart change. But somehow I think with our thankfulness, we need to be more than polite. That it's just polite to say thank you to God. To say thank you. I think that there's something about a thankfulness that I'm going to talk about, three things that hopefully will help us not only be thankful, but express thankful. There was a song years ago, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands and yeah, go, etc. But it ends with something, and your face will surely show it. There it is. Your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, your face. There's some happy people, and their face is showing it. I think that something like that is true for if we're thankful. If we're thankful and you know it, your words will surely show it. It will show up in your vocabulary that you are thankful when you give thanks. It's a tremendous power of giving of thanks for the one who gives it and the one who gets it. It changes us and it blesses others when we choose to be a thankful people. Romans will talk about a tremendous danger. In fact, the wrath of God that comes upon people in Romans chapter 1. And one of the things it talks about is, and they were not thankful. It's a serious thing that takes place in our hearts when we're not thankful. And in fact, I think we need to be thankful for the right things, not like the Pharisee who was praying and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other schmucks. Right? Thank you that I'm not like these other people. That's a distorted, a skewed thankfulness. That's not the kind of thankfulness we're looking for. Jesus modeled thankfulness. It's amazing that there were times when it recorded that he gave thanks, even in the Passover meal and supper being ended. He takes on the towel and he washes the disciples' feet, and he knows that he's headed to the crucifixion and all the betrayal and all the things, the mock trial, the crucifixion, all the things that would take place. He knew he was heading there. But before that it said, and when he had given thanks, he took the bread and broke it. Jesus modeled for us not only being thankful but giving thanks, and I want to be like Jesus. Giving thanks, it's a verb, it's an action word. Whether it's the actual words that come out or whether you write a card, a thank you card, and put action to it. The opposite, or perhaps an antonym, would be resentful, being resentful, not being thankful. Resentful, the word comes from the French, and it has to do with to feel. Resentful, it means to feel. From Latin, it has to do with sense. To feel and to sense. And it's this feeling and sense of bitterness and indignation that gets a hold of us. Bitterness and indignation. Resentment. And it can creep into our hearts, and that's why we have to be so careful, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. To guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. How important it is to guard our heart. And in fact, quite often I think, if we have a problem with our words, it's not actually our vocabulary, it's our heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I got a problem with my car, I don't go and just try and look at the exhaust pipe of what's coming out. There's a problem with the motor. Here's the three things I'd like to talk with you about. Thankfulness. Looking back. First place we need to look is look behind us. Look back at what you've had, not being resentful for what you've lost. Because we lose things. Because we go through things, something that we had is taken from us. Life changes. It could be in this economy, it could be a job that we had. That we used to have this job and now we have this job. And instead of being thankful for the season where we had the job, we're frustrated and angry because we don't have that job anymore. How many people have we met? Some here this morning have come from other countries other than Canada, who were employed as such and such, and then here are struggling with other employment, that it's not the same. All of the training, the education, the investment, not acknowledged here, and so having to do all the retraining, all the things for certification. But then there are other things that happen that we lose that are bigger than a job and bigger than a transition of countries. I was with a man this week. He's been my friend for 30 years, which makes me feel really old. How can I have a friend from 30 years and I didn't meet him until I was 18? Well, I guess 52, 30, 22. It's been a while. With Scott. Pastor's down in Michigan now. He came up to see his kids for Thanksgiving and look after some other things. I was the youth pastor here. He was the youth pastor over at Grace Baptist on Memorial Drive. Then I moved to Airdrie. We pastored the Airdrie Church. He moved out to Airdrie and pastored what was Faith Community Baptist Church. A little while ago, he moved back to Michigan with his family. A couple girls and a boy, Jess and Katie and Josh. A few years ago now, when Jess was 25 years old. I remember the time of day. I think between 10 and 11 in the morning. Her car, traveling northbound, somehow ended up in the southbound lane. We don't know. They don't know what happened. Coming around a corner. Took the corner wide, don't know what happened. Into oncoming traffic. The traffic was a garbage truck. And Jessica was instantly killed. 25 years old. Sat with my friend Scott this week, together on Friday. Talked about Jess. And I saw a man thankful for what he had, not for what he'd lost. Thankful for the 25 years. Thankful for the gift that was theirs for 25 years. And thankful that he'll see her again. That this is not the end. That this is temporary. And our prayer is that for all of our kids, that none will be missing on that day when we stand before the Lord. But I'm just so amazed at people like that.
where we're able to, instead of becoming bitter, and there is no sense of that the loss was not great. And it's not to minimize the depth of that at all. But it is to not, instead of getting bitter, getting better and saying, I'm thankful for what we had. Ezra, in the Old Testament, at the dedication of the second temple, after Solomon's temple had been destroyed and rebuilt, but nowhere near like what it looks. Instead of gold, we've got bronze. Instead of all kinds of things are changed. And the dedication of the temple takes place. And there's shouting, and there's rejoicing, and there's giving of thanks. But the old priests and the old Levites, they're making noise too, but it's not shouting and giving of thanks and praise. They're weeping. Because the glory of this new temple is nothing like the good old days. Is nothing like the temple was. But Haggai will talk and say, you know, you're thinking that the glory of this temple isn't like it was. He'll say, the glory of this temple is going to be greater than the former temple because there will be a filling of the presence of God in this temple. And Jesus would come. And not only would it talk about the temple where Jesus would come into, there would be a prophetic word that would talk about the temple that God's Holy Spirit would come into. And that's us. He said the glory, and it goes on to be more prophetic as we read the book of Revelation. But just to look and say, you're weeping and crying because of what you've lost, you don't know what's ahead. Not only do we look back, but might we look around at what you do have. Thankful for what you have, not resentful for what others have. It's different than what you've lost. It's being thankful even though you've never had. Sometimes this world gets so in our face and tries to say we need bigger, faster, stronger, on and on, better. I've seen in Mexico, I was there with Brian and Ellen, with Ed. Years ago, we went to Monterrey, Mexico, and saw people in poverty who were so thankful and would never have so much because they have grateful and thankful hearts. Audrey and I have been in India. We've seen people living in unlivable situations and yet so thankful. We've seen people here, you have too, who have so little but have such big hearts and so thankful. And then alternatively, too, we live in a world where we have so much and still feel so entitled. May God work in us thankfulness. Can we be thankful today? There's a story of a group of people who showed up at church one Sunday. It was a blustery, cold day. Weather was horrible. Probably it was May. September. Weather was bad. Power in the church was out. Furnace was out. And they said to one another, just a handful of people that came, said to one another, even the pastor's not going to be able to be thankful today. Pastor got up and said, I'm so thankful it's not always like this. In everything, give thanks. I'd like to draw your attention to some verses in Philippians. It's often quoted, but perhaps we could consider them in context of what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10, says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at last your care for me has flourished again. Paul's writing to this church who has extended and helped him financially, cared for his needs. I rejoice in greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. You always cared. Though you surely did care, you lacked opportunity. Go on to say, now that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we bring out that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. and we relate it to a great number of things. Paul's talking about thankfulness. He's talking about having and not having. And I can get through anything because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He'll go on to say a couple verses later, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's this place of I can do all things, including I can be thankful. I can be content. I have learned contentment so much as is wanting less than you have. Contentment is wanting less than you have. It's not always hard to find things to be thankful for. Sometimes you just have to look a little bit. Yesterday I was with my foot's bugging me. That's why I'm sitting down and been hobbling around the house. And I was up in my bedroom, and I said to Emily, "Here's her story." Said to him, "Hey, downstairs in the cupboard, there's a great big jar of peppermint patties. Audrey's got them for tomorrow, but no sense in, we're not going to eat the whole thing tomorrow." So, I said, "Can you go grab me two of those peppermint patties?" "Oh, sure, Dad." Off she goes. And then I hear from downstairs, Emily saying to Audrey and Robin, "Hear ye, hear ye! I am taking Dad two peppermint patties. So if he asks you for some, he's already had two." And then she comes upstairs with these and smiles and hands them to me. And she gets this little twinkle in her eye and she says, "I know your wily ways." I was on a mission for six. So sometimes you have to look to be thankful. There are ways. The other thing with her yesterday is I said, "Honey, can you grab my keys? I've got a little flash drive that I do PowerPoint on, and we transfer it to this computer." And I said, "Can you put the PowerPoint presentation on my keys so I can bring them to church?" She said, "Dad, who did the PowerPoint?" I said, "I did." She said, "Sure, I can do it. Do you want me to fix it?" I said, "What? Well, do you want me to make it look nice?" So thankfulness, sometimes you have to stretch that, yeah, she's going to do it. I'm thankful that she's willing to make an investment. And I said, "No, don't touch it." Whatever we face today, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, including being thankful. Habakkuk will tell us this, though the fig tree may not blossom or the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields may yield no fruit, food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. Just when everything that we've invested in produces nothing. When there's no fruitfulness, we've expected fruitfulness and there's barrenness. Habakkuk says we can say this, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." See, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means I won't lack, and he'll give me everything that I need for life and godliness. So we will not act like we have no Father. We will be thankful for what we've had, not what we've lost. We will be thankful for what we have, not for what others have and we don't. And then lastly, we'll look around at what we will have. Giving thanks for what we will have, even though we don't have it yet, because the Bible will tell us this, that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the good things that the Lord has in store for us. That this is temporary for those who love the Lord, the things that he's got in store for us, dear ones. We've got a lot to look forward to. We have a future and a hope. Mark Lowry, the singer and Christian comedian, says his favorite verse is this, "And it came to pass." He stops right there. Right? Luke 2 will say, "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be done." He didn't do the whole, he stops there. "And it came to pass. And it came to pass." We are just passing through whatever sorrow or struggle. It is going to pass because there will be a day. Because I have a Redeemer. And I have been sealed with an inheritance. Our suffering is a light affliction. It's but for a moment and we are passing through. And there will be a day when every tear will be wiped away. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. There will be no death or dying. There will be no disease. There will be no cancer. There will be no Alzheimer's. There will be no diabetes. There will be no tumors. There will be no sexual abuse. There will be no murder. There will be no missing children. There will be no car accidents where a 25-year-old dies. And in fact, there will even be no sun or moon. For we won't need it, for God will be our light. In the fullness of His presence, and I'm trusting there will not even be any calories. It's a confession of faith. I give thanks for what we are looking forward to. Our light affliction is but for a moment, and is working in us a far exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are thankful. So we look back for what we've had. We look around at what we have, and we look forward to what shall be. Let's pray.